Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18 to 20. Now, you're going to find in this study today a very practical application. In other words, one that makes a lot of sense if you just look at it at face value. And then you're going to find a very prophetic application in the particular passage that we're studying today. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18 to 20. Four things too wonderful for me. The Bible says, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four things which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Now, he knows that way, and that way is not too wonderful for him. But the way of the eagle, the way of the serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid, those are wonderful things that he said, I just don't know these things. They're so wonderful. You know, if you ever study an eagle and you watch it fly, there are several things about it that are very interesting. An eagle doesn't flap his wings. He's a large, very large bird, but he'll go up and he'll soar and he'll travel great distances in the thermals of the sky effortlessly. He just holds his wings out there and there he is. And I've watched them take off, and they'll, of course, flap their wings to take off. We've seen them do that down here. We've seen them up in Alaska to do that. And it's beautiful to watch them. But then they go up there and you have to ask yourself the question, how does he stay up there? And of course, in Solomon's day, they wouldn't have known nearly as much perhaps about aerodynamics as we do today. We're shooting rockets right out of the atmosphere and into outer space. But that's a wonderful thing to watch an eagle. And you know, many times you'll just be cruising along and you don't see anything up in the sky. Then you look up there and there he is. And then you look up and there he's gone. It's not that he's appearing mysteriously and disappearing mysteriously. It's just that he moves so effortlessly that unless you watch him, there he is, and there he's gone, you know. All right, a ship. Ships weigh tons. I mean, thousands of tons. And yet they float on water. They store water in them. And they use water. And yet they don't sink in the water. They float. And they're propelled through the water. And the ships, of course, of Solomon's days would have been ships that sail. And the wind draws the ship. It doesn't push the ship. You can set the sails so that with the wind behind you, they can push the ship. But generally speaking, the wind comes into the ship at a 45-degree angle from the front so that it's drawn with what I believe is called the Venturi effect. And that's a strange thing. The wind blows at a 45-degree angle into the sail, and yet the ship sails into the wind at a 45-degree angle. That's a wonderful thing. It's drawing it forward instead of driving it backward, and the ship, in all of this, moves through the water and doesn't sink. That's a wonderful thing. Serpents don't have legs. You know, snakes that we know today. I think when you see the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, he was an upright animal. But then after the curse, he was cursed to crawl on his belly, no legs. And yet, the serpent stays on the rock. And by writhing and slithering, he actually moves along. You know, and you have to ask yourself the question, why does he just wiggle in one place? I mean, if you watch him and you see what's happening, he doesn't have anything to hold on to the rock with, per se. And when he wiggles, it makes you wonder why he doesn't just go back and forth in the same spot. Yet when he slithers, he doesn't. He moves on that rock without falling off of it. That's a wonderful thing. And then man. the man with the maid. And it's a wonderful thing to watch the way that he's drawn effortlessly to the maid. Leaving all sensibility, he'll do anything, he'll say anything, and he'll give anything to have her. You know, and it's, you watch that and you think to yourself, he's not thinking at all. And that's true. He's just being led by his heart. Now, the adulterous woman, you know her. I mean, by that, I mean, you know her way. And there's not a whole lot that's mysterious. It's certainly not wonderful. And it's a way that he knows. The way that, what's surprising is the way that she can do what everybody in the world knows is wrong and yet think nothing of it. She says, after she does what she does, I've done no wickedness. The adulterous woman eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I've done no wickedness, and goes right on to her business again. That's a strange thing. Now, those things are very common. What we just talked about there, the eagle, the serpent on a rock, the eagle in the air, the serpent on the rock, the ship in the midst of the sea, the way of man with a maid. But besides the practical, wonderful things about those four things, and some of those things you'd have to really study to know because you couldn't know them by observation, they're very prophetic because they show you something that's getting ready to happen right before and just after the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, concerning the eagle in the air, swift nations will be gathered against the Jews before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will come in so quickly that those that are there gathered against them will wonder how they even got there. In the same quiet, suddenly appearing way of an eagle in the air, there they are. They move in swiftly. Now we have to look at a few references to see this, cross-references to see this. Ezekiel chapter 17. Nations that attack the Jews, nations that have attacked the Jews in the past, nations that will attack the Jews in the future are regarded as eagles in the air. The sign of the German army against the Jews was the eagle. And have you ever noticed the sign of the and the seal of the United States of America? Interesting. Ezekiel chapter 17, look at verse 3 and say, thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which had divers colors, came unto Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. Now, when you read that whole passage there, you see that the eagle comes in, and when he takes the highest branch of the cedar, he's taking down the nation. Verse 7, there was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him and shot forth her branches toward him that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. Both of those are prophecies concerning kings that fight against the Jews. All right. Look in Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8. You got Ezekiel, then you have Daniel, then you have Hosea chapter 8, and look at verse 1. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1. Set the trumpet to thy mouth, he shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and transgressed against my law. Set the trumpet to thy mouth, he shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. See, he comes in like an eagle. All right, now go back to the prophecies in Deuteronomy concerning what God said would happen to Israel if they forsook the law. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49. All right. The Bible says, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. He shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or the flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. Lamentations chapter 4, verse 19. You see, there are many references in the Bible to this. Lamentations is the small book right after the book of Jeremiah, before Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter 4, verse 19. Our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of the heaven. They pursued us upon the mountains. They laid wait for us in the wilderness. Again, the eagle is likened to the nations that swoop down in there to them. So this reference to the eagle in the air in Proverbs chapter 30 is likewise prophetic, because of the nations that attack Israel before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, interestingly, when the Jews were under the attack, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 14, you know what happens? The Lord carries them out into the wilderness on the wings of an eagle. Revelation 12, 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Well, that leads us to our next reference in Proverbs chapter 30. You see, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 19, the second thing that was too wonderful for Solomon was the way of a serpent upon a rock. Well, the devil, during the tribulation, is going to be actively and personally involved in trying to destroy the Jews. And it's going to be a surprise. You see, what was wonderful is the way of the serpent upon the rock. It's going to be a surprise how he got there so fast and so subtly to attack the Jews. The nations come in swiftly against Israel during the tribulation, and the devil shows up, and there he is on the rock, moving subtly and stealthily to attack the Jews. Now, we know that serpents are involved in the history of Israel in punishing them when they get out of line with God, like in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 24, prophecy here concerning Israel: they shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them and the poison of serpents upon the dust. During the tribulation, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, a quarter of the men on the earth die by beasts and reptiles. In other words, the animals are going to go nuts, and they're going to lose their fear of men, and beasts are going to kill them, and the poison of serpents in the dust will kill them. I mean, you can die by a snake bite anyway, but it's going to be increased to such a number that everybody's going to recognize something is way wrong with the animals. Numbers chapter 21, verse 6. The Jews were out there in the wilderness. They were disobedient to God. And so in Numbers chapter 21, verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died for murmuring and complaining against the Lord. Of course, we read about this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9, as a warning now in the New Testament. As God did these things in the Old Testament, we're to watch out, see? Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. You see, verse 11 says, all these things happened unto them for ensamples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So somebody in the future has got to pay attention to what happened back there. And guess what? In Revelation chapter 12, the devil shows up, and when he shows up as a serpent. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, and he went on the attack, or will go on the attack, against the Jews in verse 14. The nation of Israel is likened unto this woman in Revelation chapter 12, and to her were given two great wings of an eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. He's trying to kill her, trying to wipe out the Jews. All right, back to Proverbs chapter 30. Not only will swift nations be gathered against the Jews as eagles to destroy them, and the devil actively be involved against Israel to destroy them, but navies will be gathered against them in great numbers. Again, what was wonderful for Solomon was the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. Now, if you read of naval battles, particularly ones like the ones in World War II that took place out in the Pacific, the tremendous maneuvering went on, both in the way of submarines and in the way of battleships. There were battles that were fought out there in the area of the Philippines, where our admirals outsmarted the admirals of the Japanese when they made maneuvers that were not anticipated. And all of a sudden, the ships were then within firing range when one ship didn't realize the other one had come into the area. Navies would be gathered against the Jews in great numbers. Now notice in Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, this is just an example of naval warfare. Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. So by chariots and by horsemen, he can get the cavalry into the nation, but he can also bring the men in on ships. A lot of these guys that come in on ships in the United States are known as Marines, and they occupy land when they come in on shore. They shall overflow and pass over, the Bible says. Not only will they be involved as navies in warfare, like we see in Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, but they're also going to be involved in merchandise, logistics. During a war, it's very important that you can get supplies. And much of the trade now and during the tribulation is going to be by naval vessel. And when Babylon is destroyed, the navies or the merchants that were carrying merchandise under the agreements with Mystery Babylon are going to mourn the loss of Mystery Babylon because they've been made rich by the merchandise. Revelation chapter 18, verse 17. For in one hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And the great city that is consumed, that is destroyed, is Babylon. Look at verse 19. They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in one hour is she made desolate. So during this time of tribulation and the attack on the Jews, you've got people getting very rich by merchandising and navies involved in warfare, delivering soldiers to various points for battles. And you've, of course, got missiles being launched and guns being fired right off the naval vessels. Now, many of these ships, both the merchandise ships and the naval ships, are going to be destroyed during the tribulation. Revelation chapter 8, look at verse 9. Revelation chapter 8, look at verse 9. All right, the Bible says, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life, died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Can you imagine? I don't know the tonnage of ships that sail on the sea right now or that are available based on the military powers. I haven't looked that up. But when you consider all of the cargo ships and the passenger ships and the military naval vessels, it must be a phenomenal number. And then a third part of these is destroyed in Revelation chapter 8, verse 9, during the tribulation. Now, after the war, after Armageddon, after Israel has won and been delivered by the Lord, ships will be involved as like personnel carriers, bringing Jews back to Israel that have been taken captive. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 9. Surely The isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And then if you keep reading verses 10 and 11, you see that the walls and Jerusalem are rebuilt by Gentile nations. Ships are what are used to bring the sons back. So you've got swift nations coming in as eagles, the devil actively involved and personally involved in trying to destroy the Jews, navies gathered against them in great numbers, and then this, the way of a man with a maid. Well, in the Bible, the man that is so well known and so treacherous during the tribulation is the man of sin. And his maid is Mystery Babylon, the great whore, the mother of harlots. You see, the next reference in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 30 is the reference to an adulterous woman. And the kings of the earth commit fornication with Mystery Babylon, so it fits very well. The Antichrist in Mystery Babylon will be against the Jews, and it will be interesting how they get together, like a fatal attraction. In other words, the way all of this happens, nobody really sees that it's going to happen. As a matter of fact, what happens initially with the man of sin and Mystery Babylon is that there is a peaceful negotiation with the Jews. In other words, when you see all this roadmap to peace that's being negotiated now, and we keep telling you it'll never work, in fact, it will work temporarily. The world's going to say, you see all those Christians, particularly that preacher that preached there in Corpus Christi, he didn't know what he was talking about. We've been able to negotiate a peaceful settlement between the Palestinians and the Jews, between Hamas and Israel, between Hezbollah and Israel, between the Arab nations and the Jewish nation. And that'll work for a little while, and then suddenly the man of sin will turn. And whereas there had been peace, now there is war in great scale. Suddenly, just all of a sudden, whoa, what happened? I thought everybody was at peace, and then major, major war, involving swift nations coming in as eagles, the devil himself, navies, and the Antichrist, the man of sin, who professed to be the great friend of the Jews, and his religion, Mystery Babylon, that is filled with all the merchandise of the world. You see, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we find the man of sin. He's so well regarded by the people in the earth that he actually takes seat, and he's so well regarded by the Jews that he actually takes the seat of God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. That's the man of sin. And he's connected with Mystery Babylon there in Revelation chapter 17. We've read a couple of passages about her. But she is the great whore in Revelation 17, 1. And she's adulterous because in verse 2, the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And she is the mother of harlots, the Mystery Babylon, in verse 5. All right, so they're connected. And it's strange how they get connected. It's a wonder of a way of a man with a maid. And the world's going to wonder how he gets connected with this Mystery Babylon to then suddenly join up against the Jews. Now, she's an adulterous woman, and she eats. And when she eats, she wipes her mouth, and she says, well, I've done no wickedness. And in Revelation chapter 17, we saw yesterday, and we'll see again today, that what's involved here is cannibalism and sacrifice, the drinking of blood of the martyrs of the saints, of the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 17, verse 6, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. You see, and she'll do that, and she'll wipe her mouth, and she'll say, well, I've done no wickedness. I've sacrificed to my God. Revelation 16, 6. Not Revelation 17, 6. That was one of them, but Revelation 16, 6. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. For they are worthy. So you see those two things there? This adulterous woman gets hooked up with a man, and it's a wonder to the world how they did it. As a matter of fact, Revelation 13 says about this, the worship of this man, that the whole world wonders after the beast. All the world wondered after the beast. Revelation 13:3. Even John wonders when he sees this woman drunken with the blood of the saints. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, he said, Revelation 17:6. And Solomon says, too wonderful for me. And you know, she justifies her sin. She wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wrong. I've done no wrong. John 16:2. I've done no wrong. Jesus Christ prophesied of this. He said, or I've done no wickedness. Jesus Christ said this. Verse 1, John chapter 16, verse 2, verse 1 and 2. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. Isn't that wild? Whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. Isn't that amazing? They're killing the saints of God thinking they're doing God a favor. Paul did. Paul was killing Christians, and he thought he was doing the right thing by God. He said, I've lived in good conscience before God and men all my life. He thought he was doing the right thing. He did it ignorantly. When he found out the truth, he turned from it and started being a preacher and quit killing Christians. He started edifying Christians. So we got a wonderful thing here in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18, 19, and 20. Not only do we have these great things that Solomon wondered at, the eagle in the air, the serpent on a rock, the ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid, but we have the prophecies that concern many of the things, many of the elements that will take place during the tribulation. What a remarkable book this is, that Solomon, such a wise man, and Agur, this is his proverb, such a wise man, could be led of the Holy Spirit to record for us very important details concerning the upcoming tribulation. Remarkable book. Well, it encourages us to study it more and to tell others about it. We pray that you will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.